Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with The Brain. Dr. Sherry Denham joining me in the studio today with your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. This is a great day for New Life. Come join us.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother.
Okay.
That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and we're glad that you're with us today. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. And if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And joining me today in the studio, Dr. Sherry Denham. Hello, Sherry.
Hello. I almost went into song. Well, I kind of did go into song. If I only had a brain.
Yeah, well, you are kind of a brainiologist. You work with brain scans and all that, and you're really quite into brain anatomy. Yes. And so
it's kind of a good thing when you can look at the brain and actually kind of get a feel for what's happening just by looking, you know?
Yeah.
In the world of mental health, we're like the only people that don't look at the organ we're treating.
Right.
So it's nice to have a chance to look inside and point people in the right direction.
Everything I read says probably the best thing you could do if you only did one thing for your brain would be to exercise.
Exercise is a really good thing for the brain.
Might have something to do with oxygen getting up there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oxygen,
I don't know.
Blood flow.
Yeah. Anyway, well, let's go right to our phones today and let's talk with Janine. She's calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello, Janine.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on with your life today?
I have a question in reference to emotional eating.
Okay.
I've been struggling with my weight for about... I'm 24, and it started like around when I was 12. So
okay.
I've been struggling with it for a while. I have three kids, so my weight's been going like up and down with, you know, with my children.
Sure.
But after I had my second son, I had lost 70 pounds, and I gained it back when I got pregnant with my third one. But my main question is, I'm still, basically, I gained the 70 pounds back, and I'm like 100 pounds overweight, and I'm just having a hard time trying to, you know, get the weight down. I'm struggling, you know, so much with it, and I just don't know what to do.
Janine?
Yes?
It sounds like to me that you've done a lot of research on your own personal weight loss program. And in that research, you've discovered that you simply, in and of yourself, cannot keep weight off. You trying harder, doing the right thing, it just doesn't work for you. And so I'm going to encourage you to go beyond what you've learned about yourself. Stop trying to do it by yourself and do what every person that I know that keeps weight off does, and that is to connect with some people in some new ways. But we'll talk to you about this and we'll hear from Dr. Sherry Denham right after this. Maybe some of you are really struggling with your weight and you don't know what to do. A new diet, that's not going to help. I mean, it might give you some temporary results, but what you need to do is get at the it, as in lose it for life. Get at that very thing that's holding you back, that's keeping you in that pattern. And one of the its is I love to isolate myself and be alone and experience that loneliness and justify the eating. We've got to change that pattern for you. All right, we'll take this break and we'll come back. You're listening or watching New Life Live. Glad you're there today. Hold on.
I I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. I'm glad you're with us here today on New Life Live, talking to Janine. Janine, my whole point about that little thing I was talking about there was that you need some help. You need somebody to come alongside you. Have you ever tried this by connecting with someone like an exercise partner? Counseling, Weight Watchers, Overeaters Anonymous, something like that?
I've done Weight Watchers, and I've been a member for like 3 years, but like I'll go for a long while and then stop and then go and then stop.
Well, here's an idea. Don't stop, huh? Keep going. Sherry, what do you think she ought to do?
Well, you know what, Janine? I am curious here. I am just wondering, when you said the eating started at around 12, what happened around that time? Can you give us just a snippet of what went on in your life?
I guess I had some, it was just, like, I had started, I was very promiscuous, and that's kind of when it started. And I see a counselor now. She just was saying that that's when kind of the rejection and the abandonment issue started.
Okay. So there were some real significant wounds around that time. Painful wounds. And it sounds like some of them, in the you being promiscuous, there was some sexuality attached to it and all of that, right?
Right.
Sometimes what happens, and often what happens, and kind of what Steve was inviting you into in light of looking at the it, and I'm glad to hear that you're in counseling, is we will eat to cover up it, to cover up those emotions. It's like there's a part of us that just numbs out, shuts off. There's this trauma that happens, and we don't want to look at the pain that's attached to that. So we eat to medicate, right? Some people use alcohol, drugs, sex. Some people eat. And so, you know, I just think about some of the women I work with. I have a trauma group that goes on regularly, and some folks in there have had some trauma, and because of that, they eat instead of getting their emotions out. One thing I've noticed over these last several months is that they're starting to dump their toxins. They're starting to dump those emotions and those feelings out. They're getting it out, and they're losing weight. Yeah. Pretty amazing, huh? It's like that food, we think it's going to cover up our pain, but it's just does it for a moment. It doesn't really make us feel better long term.
I agree. I just wanted to say that, you know, I feel as though in counseling, I do talk about the issue that, you know, in my childhood and being promiscuous and stuff like that. I do talk about that. But I feel as though, like, you know, I have 3 kids and my husband, he's an alcoholic. And I feel like I deal with issues every day. Like, it's always something.
Your husband is alcoholic, did you say?
Yeah.
And so you're just churning inside, is that right?
Yeah, and it's like I always feel like like, even though I've dealt with it, like, I'm starting to deal with the issues that happened from the past, I'm still dealing with stuff now.
Has your husband, well, tell me how his behavior is affecting the children.
Well, they're kind of, he's kind of like, we just have a history of him being in and out because I can't really take it, like, when he drinks too much, and he's just in and out. So they kind of used to him being in and out,
well,
like, in and out the house.
That's not good, is it?
No, I know. So I'm like in counseling about that. So
here's the thing. If I was training you for a marathon and you came for the first day of training and you had this 30-pound dumbbell chained to your waist, I'd say to you, hey, wait a second. Before I can help you with the marathon, you're going to have to get that 30-pound weight off of you and undo that chain. And here we're talking about your eating, but you've got this other thing in your life that needs to be dealt with, and that's his drinking. Have you ever gone to an Al-Anon meeting?
No, but I was trying to research someone's in Philadelphia. I haven't really found one yet.
Okay.
Never a good one, but I'm looking.
You need to do that. You need to get this guy some help because he's obviously too sick to know he needs help, isn't he?
Yes, that's what I was about to say. He doesn't think he has a problem. So.
Yeah.
So all that emotion that's flying around in your household and that you're feeling when you look at your kid's faces, right? And that you're feeling as he goes in and out. Is he going to provide for me? Am I on my own? I mean, all those emotions. You're just reaching out to food to cover that instead of making some changes, okay? It like Steve said earlier, it's about isolation. So Steve's invited you to get rid of that extra, you know, bell bar or weight you've got around you. What are you going to do about Al-Anon? I hear what you're saying. You're like, yeah, I'm doing the research, and there's not a lot in my area. And I'm going, I know, Janine, darling, there's probably a half a dozen Al-Anon groups within 10 blocks of your house. What's keeping you from going?
You know, to be very honest, I think what's keeping me from going is not thinking it's really, like, I don't really have a problem. He does, so why do I really have to go?
You do have a problem, though. It's just not drinking.
Right, and I agree. Yeah. I do agree with that. I think that, you know, me and my husband's problem is, like, related because, you know, his is drinking, but mine is eating, and it's just like, I don't know.
It all works together. It all works together.
Yeah.
One of the first steps in going through recovery, it's being able to say, hi, my name is Janine. My life is not manageable. And you're not managing your life very well. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first steps of recovery is to just own your own struggle with that. And that's really her first step.
Right. You know, he really needs treatment. I'm going to invite you to Lose It for Life. In fact, I want to play for you a little tape here, a soundbite of some people talking at Lose It for Life about what life was like before they came.
Before coming this week, I had almost given up hope of ever overcoming my binge eating disorder.
I came here insecure, scared, facing a deteriorating marriage. Only certain of one thing, that the weight gain was a result of stress in my marriage.
Before coming this week, my anxiety level was so high that it was off the charts.
I could see clearly that the emotional issues that were still left in my life could cause me to turn around and put all the weight back on that I had lost.
So very anxious coming here. I had very little self-confidence. I thought about my weight all the time. My self-esteem was incredibly low. It affected me as a husband, a father, a pastor, and a friend.
I've been lazy and closed off. I lived like a slouch life where if I could lean on something, lay on something, rest on something, I did.
All right, Janine, do you relate to any of that?
Yes, like okay. All of it.
Yeah, well, you know, these people, they were anxious. And they had the emotional eating issue. And I'm just hoping that you will come to the Lose It for Life workshop. In fact, I'm going to see if we can't get you there, so hold on. But there are other people listening that perhaps mm-hmm. that
Absolutely.
Would be good for them. But, you know, you have to do things one stage or step at a time. I've shown people, and I'll show you, it's on our website, this ship that Solomon built one Lego at a time. And you know, you can't just be on a diet and expect that to help your husband get sober.
Right.
And he thinks he doesn't have a problem. He's coming in and out of the home. He's not being a constant figure in his children's life, but he doesn't think he has a problem. And so she needs to go to Al-Anon. She needs to get him some help, lower the anxiety about all of that, and get that it taken care of. If you want information on Lose It for Life, it's coming up. It's our Lose It for Life weekend. It's going to be an amazing time. Then you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website, newlife.com. It really could change everything for you. Okay, let's go to, how about we go over here to Mary from Boston, Massachusetts. Hello, Mary. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, good.
2 years ago, I started calling New Life because of some behavior issues and things I saw in my husband, and I was told he was a sex addict, and I didn't really know at the time, but it took about 2 years to get him to EMB.
Okay.
And now he thinks he's fixed, and he, because the sexual acting out is, he's overcome that, but there's the other behaviors of leaving, like the previous caller just said, you know, and lack of integrity, lack of holding a job, lack of provision, creating anxiety in the home for my children when he says he's leaving. And he thinks he doesn't have an addiction anymore because of the sexual. So what is the next step? Because he's in sustained victory. That seems to be transient because the groups change and people quit, and he thinks that that's all he needs. I called and got a referral, and I'm in, have an individual counselor. But what's next for our life and our situation?
I hear that question. Now, do you know how much time we spend trying to convince men that they're fixed once they come to Every Man's Battle?
Zero, right?
Exactly. Zero. And you know how many times we tell people all you need to do is this sustained victory thing. No, that's a part of a program that he needs to be involved with. Now, you know what? Some guys, when they leave, they get on a path of growth and character building. And maybe all they need is their church work that they're doing and men's Bible study and sustained victory. But you're pointing out evidence that his character isn't there, evidence that consistency's not there, that transformation hasn't occurred. He's just stopped one thing, but the other stuff in his life needs work. So you still have a problem there. And I don't know how you got him to go to Every Man's Battle, but if I were you, I would be saying, I think, honey, you need to be thinking about what you're going to do to take care of these problems. The integrity problem that surfaced with your lying about this, your drinking, whatever it is, he needs more help. And you're probably the only one that's going to convince him that he does need help.
Right. Just make it a non-negotiable. That's what I did for Every Man's Battle.
Yeah, it's non-negotiable.
And that's what the council was recommending.
Yes, look, you stopped. Now you're stagnant. And it's got to be more, and I'll help you. I'm going to get help for myself, you might say. I'm going to start going to a group or a support group or something. We need to pull this thing back together. And just going doesn't fix it.
A lot of times what happens, Mary, with the sex addicts, they have got, typically they've got a core history of abuse. Physical, emotional, sexual. They've got some self-image issues. They've got abandonment issues many times. And a lot of them really fear intimacy, fear getting connected. And it sounds like your husband may have a lot of fears of failure.
Yes. He had parents who drank and a high-performing dad who just, yes. And he never really did the work. So getting through the STEP program, he wants to get it done to go to his Tuesday calls and not do the hard work of figuring it out.
Yeah, so he's
painful.
Yeah, he's got to go deeper. He's got to start getting more connected. I would encourage him to continue in the sustained victory, but he needs to add connection with other men.
That's right.
Face to face.
Yeah, that's right.
And
what about SA groups or an
yes,
individual counselor?
Yes, absolutely.
All of that.
Yeah.
All of that.
And he's been, we talked to him about that at Every Man's Battle. You do
you recommend that alumni? I heard about that. Do you recommend that? Would that help?
It's amazing how much that can help. So many things he can do other than just stay the same and have a wife who's frustrated that all he did was stop looking at pornography or having affairs or whatever it is. Glad you called. Hold on. I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham. We're talking with Mary in Boston, and she's frustrated that her husband went to EMB, claims it's all over, it's done with, but she doesn't see it. Sherry.
Yeah, I was going
to
just...
And it's my problem because I'm not forgiving, and I explain forgiveness as a process, but I have to see certain...
behaviors.
Issues that have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're looking for their behaviors, not their words so much. And, yeah. You know, at the Women of the Battle conference we had in September, I just want you to know you would have been in really good company because there is a lot of women just like yourself, Mary, that are frustrated. And one of the things that I invited them into, one thing I want you to know, it's not your fault that your husband was sexually acting out. But let me tell you what I see so often, not only from my own life, but from working with a lot of women that are married to sex addicts, is we have our part in it.
And what does that mean? You have a part.
Our part in it. You know, when we really look at it, we have got behaviors that we do mm-hmm. that we haven't gotten healing for.
Okay.
We have our own intimacy issues as well as they do. We may even have past traumas that have kind of fed into the reason that we even chose someone like that in the first place. Unconsciously, we don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to control and manipulate and get them to do what they need to do. And it creates a lot more anxiety for us. And oftentimes what we need to do is we need to start looking at getting support for ourselves, right, kind of putting our own oxygen mask on. And that was one thing I was wondering about. I'm delighted to hear that you're in counseling. But are you in a codependency group or a support group of other women that are also frustrated and having to learn how to deal with their anxiety over it all?
No, I'm seeing an individual counselor recommended by New Life.
Okay, so let me introduce you to something. I would love you to add this to your life because I honestly think it's going to help you. I want you to find a good codependency recovery support group, like Celebrate Recovery or a COSA group, which is a codependency group for sex addicts, someplace where you've got other women that are also frustrated and struggling that you can hear their stories and start to deal with all those things that we do. Like I said, the controlling, the wanting to fix him, the anxiety, and get some help for yourself. Because you're going to keep spinning unless you've got a place where you belong, where you feel accepted, and you can start to bring your hurt and pain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because your counselor she's going to be there helping you to deal on with your own issues. But to hear from other women that are as equally as frustrated as you is healing in itself.
Yeah. So
right,
you need to add that to your
codependence
care
of sex addicts. COSA right, is a group you can Google to find out the locations that would really help you to get with some other women.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's just,
and I'm
one
so
more thing.
Sorry what you're having to go through, and I'm so sorry that he came back acting like he had fixed everything, and that he's demanding.
He has a heart. He wants to please, honor God. He just needs the tools. He does. Right. He wants to be the godly man that he knows God wants.
Well,
to be.
If
so
he's
that's what's good.
Yeah. Well, if he says to you, you should forgive. You say to him, Steve said to say this to you. No, no, no. I don't.
Okay.
That's not something that should ever come out of your mouth. I'm forgiving you. It's a process. I'm involved in it. But you had this problem a long time, and my forgiveness is just going to take a little bit more time than we've spent. So be patient.
Yeah. And as I see you change your behavior, right, as I see you adding some of the good things, it's really like rebuilding the city. The wall came down. You know, when Steve talked about walking in walls, you know, you've got to rebuild the wall. You've got to add the good stuff. You got to add the connection. You got to add the intimacy. You got to maybe go see if he's struggling with ADD, which a lot of addicts have co-occurring ADD issues. I mean, there's other things that need to be added into the mix in order for you to walk towards success.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called. Walking into walls coming your way. Here's Sue from San Francisco. KFAX is the station. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
How are you?
I want to say, first of all, God bless you guys. Oh, you are so awesome. I've listened to you for, I don't know how many years, decades.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you did.
Thank you so much. You've helped so many people.
Thank you very much. How could we help you?
You're welcome. Okay. Well, I've been divorced a couple times, and I am now dating a divorced man. We both have children. They're teens and older. And to put it in a nutshell, I would like to know if it's okay for me to say much about a problem I see happening with his kids. Of course, we both came from marriages where our spouses cheated on us, and they were horrible to our children. And so I see him coming from a place of guilt, which I identify with.
Okay.
He doesn't seem to follow through on having his kids, it sounds silly, but like do their chores and be accountable for things they should be responsible for. So,
now how long have you known him?
I've known him about 8 months. We've been dating about 5.
Okay. And the reason that you want to know about the kid thing is because you're part of their lives already?
Yes, very much so.
So you guys are moving toward
time together.
I'm feeling you're moving toward marriage.
We're kind of
thinking of that. And, of course, our friends and family are, and it's looking really good.
Looking good. All right. We're going to talk to you after this. All right. You hold on.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Sue. I'm doing a little research. Okay, Sue, how long was it between, well, when did was your divorce final in your last marriage?
My divorce was final about 2 years ago.
And what about him?
About 3 years ago.
Okay. All right. And you each have been married twice?
Yes, we have.
Okay. So doesn't that compel you a little bit to go slower than faster?
Yes, it does.
Okay, because 5 months, you know, that's not long enough for you guys.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
You need to be dating a year.
Yes, yes, and I made that very clear to him.
Okay, so I know a lot of people would say, how do you feel about dating a year? But I'm telling you, you need to date a year.
And you know what, Sue, I would probably extend that out a little longer because of your kids' ages.
Yeah.
And because of both of your histories with having been married twice, to have your kids go through another relationship that's going to be hard is just more than they should bear.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And that, we're
you guys need to be ironing
right now, even just dating. So
you need to be ironing out those wrinkles right now. But in your voice as you were talking, I have to be honest. I was hearing this, you know, kind of talking to the family, and we're kind of, it's all good. I'm kind of happy about it. You know,
I think the chances of you lasting a year as of right now are zero. So I'm you got to put the brakes on this thing, and you got to think about your children, and remember,
absolutely,
remember it's happened before. When you fall in love with someone, you become mentally ill. Everybody does.
I know.
Okay. So
I've heard you guys talk about this before.
You can't
we discuss the possibility in the future that we know it's a possibility, but we're not making any plans. And I won't, even if we do want to get married, I mean, I wouldn't, I don't even think he's
ready to do that sooner than a year. I don't even think to it in a year, but not to actually
but
get married
once,
in a year.
After a year, then you need to enter some pre-marital counseling
or pre-premarital counseling.
And you need to tell the person, the counselor, I want you to feel free to tell us this might be a bad idea.
That what might be a bad idea?
Us getting married might be a bad idea. See, some people go into marriage counseling and they say to the counselor, here, we want premarital counseling so we'll have a better marriage from the very beginning. And they don't give the counselor license to tell them, I don't think it's going to work very well or easily. So you want to do that.
I know that the truth may hurt. So I am so open to that. I am going into this with my eyes so wide open, and so is he.
Okay.
So talked about our history and
so let me ask you.
Sorry.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Sue, because your question to us was, is it okay for me to comment, to talk with him about how I'm noticing him not following through with his kids on some of their responsibilities? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
So I'm thinking, wow, is it taking you 5 months to get to that point, to have those kind of honest conversations?
Well, I've spoken to him about it. We've talked about it a little bit. I want to be careful not to overstep my position because we're not engaged.
Right, but let me
like
just
it's a definite thing we're getting married. And let me want to make sure I see some things and we've discussed some.
Right,
some
let
things.
Me back you up. At this point, Sue, you bring it all. It doesn't matter. You just bring it. You guys need to bring it with one another. It's not playing nicey-nicey around these conversations. You walk into it and you say, hey, I have no idea where we're going, right? We still haven't really defined all of that. But let me tell you something that causes me some anxiety or some worry.
Okay.
I feel worried when I observe you not, when I watch you not following through with your kids or asking them to do some responsible things. What's that about? I feel some anxiety, but I'm just bringing it to you to kind of get a better understanding. What stops you from having more structure with them?
I guarantee you, after you get married, you're going to bring it.
Yeah.
So now you need to be bringing it.
All of it. Do not hold back.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm not afraid to approach the subject. I'm just want to make sure that it is my place right now to do that exactly.
Okay.
I want advice on that. I want to follow the right advice.
Okay, I want to ask you one more thing. Are you in a women's Bible study?
Am I in a women's Bible study?
Yeah.
I'm going to be starting soon. Yes.
Okay.
I will be.
So you need to be in that Bible study, and you need to be going out with women, and you need to be asking them what they think, your girlfriends.
Yes, that's very valuable. I love that, and I'm also calling you guys because I'm seeking counseling. Like the Bible says, like Proverbs says.
Okay.
Wisdom and counsel and wise counsel.
Okay.
See, with having been married to a couple of unfaithful husbands, what it tells me a little bit about Sue, you, is that you have a hard time walking into the hard questions because there's some things that went on in both those marriages for a long time. And we've got to find our voice.
Right. That's right.
We've got to find our voice. And so
I'm going to send you walking into walls. Hold on. It's coming your way. Let's talk to Brian from Auburn, California, KFIA. Hello, Brian. How you doing?
Hi. Good. How are you doing?
Good. I was just up your way a couple of weeks ago. Wonderful, beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, I love it. It's a beautiful place. My question for you today, let me give you just a little background. I am an only son of my mom and dad, who were divorced when I was 2.5.
Okay.
From there, my mom got remarried to my stepdad at about 4 years old.
Okay.
And I got a brother, two sisters from that. And 5 years ago, they separated and also divorced.
Aww.
And, but my question today, we've kind of worked through all that, but my mom has recently, over the last couple of years, befriended a man, and she's moved in and out of his house, supposedly living in a separate room, but she's still living with him for the past year and a half out of wedlock. And then recently, my sister, one of my younger sisters, also decided to move in with her boyfriend and live with him before engagement or anything like that. And Mike, what I've been wrestling with biblically is how I should fellowship and relate with them going forward.
Okay. How does it make you feel knowing that they're both doing the same thing?
Just heartbroken.
Really?
Mm. Just, you know, just being raised in a Christian home.
Sure.
Via my stepdad and my mom watching that take place.
That's got to be hurtful. Very, very hurtful.
How old are you, Brian?
I'm 32.
How old is your little sister?
She's 22.
Okay.
And are you married, Brian, or?
Yeah, I'm married. Got two kids with a lovely wife.
All right.
Well, I tell you, first of all, in these situations, you know, you've got to, it's easy to just stay in the judgment part, and then you don't really help them. But you kind of have to work on your connection with them so that you have some kind of influence over them. In other words, if you're not connected to your 22-year-old sister and you call her up one day and say, I don't like it that you're living with your boyfriend, what good's that going to do? Or the same with your mom. But if you can build your connection a little bit so that in 60 days or 30 days, you're saying to them, man, I tell you, it really hurts me that you feel like it's okay to do this, then it means something. Sherry, what are you thinking would be helpful?
I agree. Go ahead. You were going to say something, Brian.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you, at this point, you know, I've gone the route of writing a letter to both of them,
mm-hmm.
Just with my heart on it, as well as scriptures, trying to show love but truth at the same time. I've also met with them personally and had coffee.
So what's happened since you did those things?
Since those things, well, there's two different. My mom is basically thinks it's temporary and that things will change soon. And my sister just says, you know, it is what it is. I'm sorry, but I've chosen to do this.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's kind of how it's laid. But there's no disconnect as far as relationship goes.
Okay. We'll help you right after this. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're talking with Brian, and man, hey. Mom and the little sister are not
so
keeping
much.
The standard here. So,
you know, Brian, sure. I think what I'm really hearing from you is that you are brokenhearted. And it feels like grief and loss to me. Like this kind of stuff that makes you just want to cry a river of tears. Honestly, it's painful. When we look at grief, because I think that's where you're at, is really having to grieve, not having control over some principles that you know are godly and right and true. And I know God understands that. I know Jesus understands that. And you're kind of feeling that same grief, that godly grief of, wow, I've brought my heart, I've brought my pain, I've cried out, I've let you know how I feel about this. And as Steve was inviting you to do, it's the hardest part is to stay attached and connected to them. Because we don't have to accept somebody's behavior, but we can still be in relationship with them. But as you continue to work on your own grief, I just feel like there's some tears in there. That you may need to find a place to let them out.
Yeah.
It's hard. Well, it's like you've had to be the little man of the family, but now you're not a little man anymore. You're a big man. And you've got your mom and your daughter, and you're trying to be the protector and stand up for what's right. And I want to applaud all that. But there's some sadness in being a warrior when you're fighting a battle and you're not winning.
The thing is, what Sherry's saying is you've got some individual grief work for yourself to do. Now, as far as your sister and your mother go, you've done what you could. Now you need to let your words have credibility in showing your love for them. Even though they don't respond to your words, the more you love them, the more credibility they're going to have that it was done out of love, not out of some kind of self-righteous mode that you were in.
That's true.
Got it?
Right.
Okay.
No, I don't want to be self-righteous. My wonder is if I'm being selective by, you know, as it says in Corinthians, remaining in fellowship with somebody who's living that way, but I don't want to be judgmental either.
Well,
I'm just wrestling with both sides.
Yeah, and I think it's right for you to wrestle, and this is your mother and your sister. And so they're your family members, and whether you should dine with them or not, I really believe you should be reaching out to them with phone calls and emails and texts and things like that, that they know you're on their side.
And it's okay. You've let them know you don't agree with what they're doing, right? That's been clear. But part of the grief process is actually you're not in denial anymore. It's getting over to the other bank of the river. I call it two banks. You move from denial to acceptance. In order for you to accept them, I'm not saying accept their behavior, but accept them.
Yeah.
There's some anger and grief work. There's some anger and sadness that needs to be expressed. We've got to feel angry about it.
Right.
We've got to feel sad about it.
Yep.
And that helps us move to the other side of the river where we can accept what is and grieve it.
Yeah. All right. So, well, I'm glad that you called. And let me send you Healing as a Choice. It'll help you do that grief work that you've got to do there. You really do need to do that.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
Hey, I want to read a story to you. It's right out of Luke 18. It says that two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It is just not hard to get the meaning of that. No matter what translation you're dealing with,
yeah.
I think all of us understand that there's no value to us pointing out the good things, but there's value in humbling ourselves and looking at the things we need to work on in our whole lives. And we've had some calls here where it was important that even though the person maybe didn't cause the problem, they
right.
need to work on themselves so yep. that their reaction is appropriate.
Yeah.
And, you know, there when you put humble willingness together, when somebody is humble and willing to do whatever it takes, it sure makes a difference in their life and in the lives of a lot of other people. Well, we have so many things going on that we want you to be involved with. First of all, Lose It for Life is coming up, and that has set so many people free. I don't even like to talk about this, but I know one lady said, you know, I haven't lost any weight, but I've never felt better about life than now. And it is true that some people will go a year before they feel like they've worked through the it issues enough to begin to lose weight. Because, you know, just dieting, you lose your best friend to deal with stress. So you might blow up or something. Or you're gonna go from deprivation to rewarding yourself. So here's a way to deal with that thing inside that leads you to eat. And we really want to help you with that. And you can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Now, the thing that we love around here is our giving family. They help us to continue to buy radio time. And a big foundation of that are our New Life, Club New Life members. And just for $30 a month, you can be a Club New Life member, and you get discounts on merchandise at newlife.com. Also, I send you a CD that I do every month, and there's a teaching from one of our hosts. There are a couple of phone calls that maybe you missed because you don't listen all the time. We think they're really good calls. We update you on our ministry and what's going on. And so I just hope and pray that you'll give us a try and become a member of Club New Life. Now, also, coming up in May is our Footsteps of Paul, the trip to Greece. We're going to travel back in time where Paul was held captive in Philippi, where he preached in Thessalonica. We'll head to the Acropolis, the Parthenon, the temple. Doesn't it make you want to go?
It does.
The Temple of Athena and Mars Hill. And
wow.
then there's a three-night cruise in the Mediterranean with excursions to ancient Ephesus, Patmos, and Santorini.
Wow.
So you call the person in charge at 1-800-223-3855. 1-800-223-3855. Come join me and the New Life family on this wonderful retracing the footsteps of Paul. It's going to be a trip of a lifetime. Our Israel trip was amazing. It was kind of the perfect trip. So come join us for this one. I think you're really going to like it. If you need some help, the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to the website, newlife.com. The other thing is, tell somebody about the radio program. Would be a great ministry to us. Just let them know when we're on and that you listen, and maybe they'll give it a try. We love getting to be here with you, and thank you to all of you that listen and support us. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Denham.
Good
see you next time.
Here.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and make it a good day. And, you know, be on that missional life journey where you're looking for the person you need to share some hope and truth with, and do that today. God bless you. See you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.